Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of that prophet shall speak in my name. I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From the Gospel according to Mark, which I just read to you, Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Let's try it this way. Jesus entered St. Thaddeus and taught. They were astounded because he taught them with authority, and they weren't used to that. Let's consider the church this morning and what it takes to astonish you. Annie Dillard, one of my favorite writers, in her book, The Holy Firm, writes about attending a small congregational church and participating in its rather prosaic service. And she contrasts that with what she calls the higher Christian churches. I think she's talking about us. Who, she says, I love this, they come at God with an unwarranted air of professionalism, with authority and pomp, as though they knew what they were doing. She writes, in the high churches, they saunter through the liturgy like mohawks along a scaffolding who have long since forgotten their danger. If God were to blast such a service to bits, the congregation would be, I believe, genuinely shocked. But in the low church, you expect it any minute. I'm afraid she just may have us pegged. Now, I know that some of you come from what Dillard would call the low church, where things are much more extemporaneous and a lot looser when it comes to the way worship is done. An Episcopalian new to the church once described himself as a recovering fundamentalist. And recently I've heard the Episcopal Church called elitist. Is that who we are? So, what is your idea? What is your image of the church? What do you think of when you think church? Let's be a little bit more specific. What image do you have in your mind when you think of St. Thaddeus Church? A lot of us might say It's a place. We say we're going to church. Some of us think of people. We say that the church is gathering. Well, sometimes the church gathers, not necessarily this morning. We say the church is gathering. Maybe for some of us, Annie Dillard's description of the Mohawks who have forgotten the danger is apt. That is, here we come and we gather for the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. That's what we say we're doing. But we come with this ho-hum attitude instead of astonishment and wonder. Or perhaps your image of the church is that of a fortress. It's safe, it's secure, it's unchanging, where the banner which flies over us is status quo. And the motto is the seven last words of the church. We've never done it that way before. Or maybe your image of the church is that of a pilgrimage through life. And perhaps that old picture of a boat carrying the faithful through the stormy seas of life is your picture of the church. Don't forget, we call this the nave, from the same word as navel. And you turn this building upside down, and there is the boat image. You see, the image that we choose to describe something can be all important. For me, one of the most beautiful images of the church is that of household. When we hear that word, we might think of our own household, past or present. Maybe we instinctively recall the familiar rooms, the stairways, the backyards of our childhood. Household means more than a building, though. It means people. And so when we hear the word household, we just might visualize the faces that have meant so much to us. The faces of mother or father, brother, sister, wife, husband, someone we love. And then, of course, St. Paul gave us the image of the church as the body of Christ, where every part of the body has an essential part to play in making the whole being functional. And then another image of the church is that of organization. Let me tell you, it doesn't compare very well with the image of the household or the body of Christ. But it's an image that we sometimes have of the church because it means structure or committees or organization. St. Augustine provided us with a helpful image of the church when he taught that there was the visible and the invisible church. The visible church is all the people who get together from time to time in God's name. And anybody can find out who they are by just looking. But Augustine says there's more to the church than meets the eye. The invisible church is all the people God uses for his hands and feet in the world. And only God knows who they are. I'm convinced that the visible and the invisible church are perhaps more than we think, one and the same. But only God knows. As we, the visible church, gather together in God's name, you and I rely on a promise. We rely on his promise that he will be with us. And we place our trust, we place our faith in that promise. And when we open the eyes of our faith, we might just be astonished to hear Jesus teaching anew and take to heart his commandment to love one another and really be his people in the world. That day, so long ago, in Capernaum, in the synagogue, those people were amazed and astonished at his teaching, his power, his authority. And this day, here in this place, let us seek the one who will amaze and astonish us with his presence and his power and his authority. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 358 in the Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God,
the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on your bulletin insert. As the people gathered in Capernaum to hear Jesus' words, so too have we come together to hear God's word. Let us boldly offer our prayers to God, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the world in which we live and to which we are called, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world, and for world peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of Christ, zealous in mission, compassionate in service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation and for our healing the Word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick and for those who care for them, and especially for those on our prayer list. Robbie,
Margaret, Jean, Steve, Bobby, Kenny, Nicole, J.R., Jerome, Mark, Blair, Michelle, Harry, Joan, Kyle, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Colton, Chuck, Jenny, Terry, Naomi, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden,
pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homeless and for the refugees, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those with whom we rejoice and for those whom joy is known only in the secrets of their hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces, especially those deployed in harm's way. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially John Hawkins, Jean Sieg, Joseph Kent, Joan Guthrie, Amy Simon, Jason Morgan Houck, Pete Bartholomew. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Bob and Joan Guthrie. Oh God, we commend to you your care. We commend to your care all from whom we pray, in the confidence that your love for them is greater than anything we can know or imagine. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Are we awake yet?
Yes, sir.
Several announcements. First of all, the bishop is coming, the bishop is coming, the bishop is coming. I feel like Paul Revere. The bishop will be here for his annual visitation 1 month from next week, on the 8th of March. So I would encourage any of you who have not been officially made a part of the Episcopal Church to contact me, and we'll make those arrangements. Also, I'd remind you that one of the new things that's happening in the church is an opportunity for all of us to reaffirm our vows before the bishop. So put that in your prayer hopper and be thinking about it. When he's here, it's a wonderful time for us to make a public reaffirmation of our vows that we made at our baptism and our confirmation. You'll hear more about it. Diocesan Convention meets this week in Knoxville, and Gaines and Bob and Dee and Kelly and your clergy will be your representatives, and I know we'll do a wonderful job. This being the first Sunday of the month, the parish nurse and her committee will be offering blood pressure checks on your way back for coffee. And being the first Sunday of the month, the loose offering is designated for the rector's discretionary fund. Also, we now have the new Forward Day by Days. They're in the narthex. They're a wonderful little devotional. I encourage you to use them. There are plenty of them in the narthex. And then finally, something that you can't see, but you will hear from time to time, is a gift that we have received from Jean Thomas, and it's a baby grand piano. And it's a lovely instrument, and it's back there. So after church, if you'd like, go back and take a look at it, and we'll get to hear it from time to time. Are there any other announcements to be made? Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you've caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be quick to be kind, make haste to love, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.